some people do well in being able to learn not only through audio, but through writing things down as well. There's some visual response with it, and so it just helps us to be able to retain, hopefully, some of the Lord's Word a little bit better. This morning I'm going to talk about becoming great. How do we become great? Our world is, as we think about a corporate ladder, you ever hear climbing the corporate ladder and doing whatever it takes to become great? Say it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, right? Isn't that how we become great? We're part of a dog-eat-dog world. I once heard it said on a sitcom, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. That's the mentality that the world oftentimes has, is that it's just a cutthroat world, and we have to do whatever it takes for us to be great and to be famous and to be well-known. We have to set ourselves up and put ourselves up and promote ourselves, and at whatever cost to anybody else, as long as we're built up and we become great and wonderful and well-known, right? Isn't that what the world says? That's what the world I live in says. Maybe you guys live somewhere else. That's the world I live in. And that's what it says. That's how things function. And so to become great, it's who we know and how well we know them and the stuff that we have, and that's greatness. That's the measure of greatness, and that's how greatness is marked. But the Word talks a lot about greatness. It talks a lot about how you and I are able to be great in the Lord's standards and the standards that God has for us. How we are able to be great, and it's a lot different than what the world offers. It's a lot different than the advice that the world offers. The advice the world offers to be great is to be first and to be best and to try to show yourself smartest and show yourself having the most of everything that there is. God's way of becoming great and attaining greatness is a lot different than that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew's the first of four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew chapter 18. This idea of greatness and how do we become great and who is great isn't something that's new today. It's not something that the 20th century made up and it's just spilling over into the 21st century. This is a question that's been asked probably as long as there has been man. In Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 1, it says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" See, there the disciples are asking that. Who is the greatest? Certainly the hope and the desire was that he would name one of them. Right? Don't you think that's what they're fishing for? Probably fishing for some kind of a compliment here. Well, you guys are right near the top anyway. You know, that's probably what they were hoping for. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Whoever humbles himself is the greatest. You see, man's standard of greatness and the way that you attain it in man's eyes is to not humble yourself, but rather proclaim yourself, build yourself, try to show yourself to everyone, to build yourself up at least in the eyes of other people. And God's way of attaining greatness is through humility. It's through humbling yourself. Instead of building ourselves up and trying to do everything that we can to climb and climb and climb and build and build and build and proclaim ourselves and everything that we have and show everything off and show everybody how wonderful and great we are and all our accomplishments, rather it's through humility, through humbling ourselves, through understanding our place and position and our relationship with God. Certainly the greatness that we have because of Jesus Christ, but the understanding that without Him, I have nothing. I am nothing. So when the disciples ask Jesus, "Who's the greatest?" Jesus says, "He who humbles himself. he who, instead of climbing to the top and doing everything he can at every cost to the hurt and harm of others, he says it's through humility, through humbleness, that we become the greatest. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. There are four small books right together, right in the middle of the New Testament: Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. So if you find any of those, Philippians is right in the midst of those. Philippians chapter 2. Almost all of Philippians chapter 2 talks about Christ's humility and our looking to Him as our example and being built up in that. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Paul writes this and he says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." So here again, we have that upside-down thinking that God has. This guy's backwards, isn't he? Isn't God backwards? He says, throw away vain conceit, throw away selfish ambition, throw away these things, and instead be humble. God, you've got that backwards. That is not the way that we get to the top. That's not the way we become great. That is the way we become great. Through humility. Through thinking of the interests of others. Instead of building ourselves up, building others up. Through us putting ourselves in a position of servitude and humility, recognizing and knowing the example that Jesus Christ set for us, being able to look to that as well. You see, it's not God's ideas that are backwards. They sound awfully backwards compared to a lot of modern day thinking, don't they? But it's not God's ideas that are backwards. It's man's. It's man's ideas that are backwards. Man says we become great through ourselves and by promoting ourselves, and God says you are great through humility. You're great through service. You're great through sacrifice. We talked about humility. Let's talk a little bit about that service. Go to Mark chapter 9. We were in Matthew earlier. You turn back to there. Mark's the book right after it. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we learn a little bit more about the disciples and that mentality that they had, and again, the greatness that they had on their minds. Mark chapter 9, verse 33. It says, "They," and the "they" is Jesus and His disciples. "They came to Capernaum. When He was in the house, He asked them, 'What were you arguing about on the road?'" Apparently, Jesus, as they were walking, overheard the disciples arguing amongst themselves. And so He asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet. They kept quiet, hiding it from Him, because Jesus had no idea, right? Jesus is just walking with the disciples, and they're arguing about something. He has no clue what they're arguing about. So He asks them, "Hey, you guys were arguing about something. What was it that you guys were arguing about?" Suddenly, they have nothing to say. They kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. This is not a new concept. Greatness is not something new that has come about with how smart that we've become in the last X number of years. The disciples were arguing about who is greatest. Jesus knew what they were arguing about, and yet He asked them, "What was it you guys were talking about on the road? I heard some mumbling and arguing there. What was going on there?" Nothing. We didn't have anything to say. Jesus goes on to tell them. He called the 12 sitting down and He said, "If anyone wants to be first," see, He didn't need them to tell Him. "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them, taking him in His arms. He said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me does... Whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. So here Jesus again now talks about service. If anyone wants to be first, he must be last and the servant of all. Again, that is completely backward than what the world teaches of how you obtain greatness today. That's the way that God sets the standard through Jesus Christ. If we want to be great, if we want to be built up in God's eyes, our attitude ought to be one of humility and one of service, putting others before ourselves, being in a position instead of attempting to glorify ourselves and get everything that we can, to glorify others and give everything that we can, to be in a position in a situation where we serve instead of seeking our own interests, seeking the interests of others. Being in a place where we put aside ourselves. And again, that goes so against what the world teaches. But that way of service is a way to greatness in God's eyes and in the kingdom. Turn to John chapter 12. We're going to look at three portions of Scripture. If you're in Mark, Luke is next, and then John right after it. John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. Here I'm in Luke 12, and I look at it, and I'm like, wow, that is not what I was expecting to see there. Good thing I'm in the wrong book, or we'd be in trouble. Well, I would be. You guys would be fine. I'd be in trouble. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 23 through 36. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." A little teaching in farming here, something that they could understand. I've never been a wheat farmer, so I can't explain to you the intricacies, but I know that this is true about wheat, and one kernel makes a stalk which has a whole bunch of seeds on it. That's all I can do. Anybody who's good at wheat, talk to them later on. It says in verse 25, "The man who loves his life will lose it." The man who follows the standards of greatness in this world will lose that greatness. "While the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now, he's not talking about hating ourselves and we have to hate ourselves and cut ourselves and hurt ourselves and whatnot. That's not by any means what he's talking about. But rather that understanding of the upside down world in which we live. Whoever hates his life in this world, and in other words, that drive that we somehow automatically have with our sin nature of glorifying ourselves and building ourselves up, that drive to have more stuff and want more stuff. As we hate that and put off that old self and put off those old way of thinking, that's our hating our lives in this world. See, that phrase "in this world" is an important thing. Verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." You see, with God, greatness is attained through service, through serving others, through serving Jesus Christ. You guys with me? Everybody doing all right? Greatness comes through humility, comes through service. Look at John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. In John chapter 13, Jesus, again, Philippians talked about him setting an example of humility. Here in John chapter 13, he shows us that example of humility and service by washing the feet of his disciples. Here the master, the teacher, washes the feet of his servants. He washes the feet of those who are his students, showing and leading by example that he came not to be served, but to serve himself. John chapter 13, looking in verse 12. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes on and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet.'" See, again, he sets that example and then gives that command. If you want to be great, if you want to follow me, if you want to be obedient to that which I teach, if you call me Lord and teacher as you should, then this is what I want you to do. I want you to wash each other's feet as well. Now, this wasn't a command for them to, okay, right away, you know, get right down and wash their feet. Well, he had just done it. But rather to have that heart of service throughout their lives. That same command that's there for you and I. If we want greatness in the eyes of God and the kingdom of God, then humility and service ought to be the way that we attain it today. Not through building ourselves up, but through serving others, through loving others, through giving to others, through washing their feet, whatever that act may be today, through meeting the needs that they have, through maybe sometimes it is physically washing them because they don't have a shower of their own. Putting ourselves in a position and a place where we are serving others, where we are looking to their needs above ourselves and above our own. Think about the things that we do on any given evening. Pause for a moment. What did you guys do on Thursday night? Don't say it out loud. Just think about what you did on Thursday night. I don't really remember Thursday myself, but maybe you guys can come up with what you did on Thursday night. Was it something to please yourself? I mean, did you do something so that you would be built up and you followed your own needs and your own desires? Or did you purposefully look to the needs and desires of those around you? To the needs of those who live next door? See, it makes it a lot harder when we actually look at our own lives and examine our lives and say, okay, well, this is good, you know, for a Sunday morning. This is a nice teaching. Humble and service, great. You know, that's no problem here. But then when we actually consider our own lives and if we are putting this into practice, it becomes a lot more difficult, doesn't it? And that's not me heaping on you any kind of condemnation or attempting to bring any kind of embarrassment by any means, but rather realizing and recognizing the perspective that we too often have. We can say amen to the sermon, which you guys haven't done near enough this morning. We can say amen to the sermon. But if we look at our lives and don't follow that which Christ led for us and gave us that example of humility and service, and rather through our lives continue to look only to our own desires and our own needs, then we're missing the point. We're taking the teaching in mentally, but not applying it to our lives and our hearts spiritually. In John chapter 15, go over just a couple of chapters to John chapter 15. We've talked about greatness coming through humility and through service. In John chapter 15, we see that greatness comes also through sacrifice. Humility, service, and sacrifice. John chapter 15, verse 9. Jesus again is speaking and he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now look at verse 13, key in on this one. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Again, this morning we've talked about Jesus being that example of humility, that example of service, and now that example of sacrifice. Jesus himself laid down his life for his friends, and frankly, he laid down his life for his enemies. He laid down his life for those who would then and later proclaim him as Lord, and he laid down his life for those who will never proclaim him Lord until they're forced to, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Jesus Christ set that ultimate example and sacrifice as well by laying down his life in obedience to his Father because of his love for us. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other And again, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends, that he would make that sacrifice for his friends. Husbands and wives were encouraged, husbands especially are encouraged and commanded to love their wives to the point that Jesus loved the church, to sacrifice for them as well. But here Christ lays down that example for us, both physically in giving himself and in teaching us here, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends, that sacrifice. That greatness comes through sacrifice. Now this makes for a good sermon. But again, it's the application in our lives that's dependent upon how much we're affected by it. It's the application in my life, in your life, that determines truly whether this is something that we believe. We can say we agree with it all that we want, but until it comes out of us, until we live it, until we act because of that belief, it means nothing. The world says that greatness comes through you being awesome. Greatness comes from you being the best at what you do. Greatness comes from you name-dropping and you having stuff and having money and becoming the greatest at everything that there is. And God says greatness comes through humility, through thinking of others before yourself. Comes through service. Comes through serving other people and their interest rather than your own. It comes through sacrifice. Laying yourself down for others. That's how we attain greatness. That's how we're great in God's eyes. Let's pray this morning. Great God, we recognize that your ways are not the ways of the world. We see that. Father, help us to not only understand it mentally, but be able to take it to heart enough that it changes our lives. That we follow not the ways of man and seeking greatness for ourselves, but rather we become humble. We become committed to service and sacrifice for others. God, forgive us when we have not done that. Forgive us when we followed the ways of the world, thought only of ourselves. God, I thank you for the cleansing and the wholeness that we have. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. God, now help us as we put these things on our hearts and in our minds, as we live these out by your word and your command. God, give us strength. Give us gentle reminders. Sometimes give us firm reminders. God, we thank you. We thank you for the greatness that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that ultimate example for us. We pray this in his name. Amen.